that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
I'd like to share something with you.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State arts magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today, we take you to Chico's Blue Room Theater to hear about the current production, which has only two more performances, tonight and tomorrow night. We'll talk with Wade Guess, the composer, lyricist, book writer, and music director of this new original musical about a shy young man who gets a job at a store called Stuff and Things, which also happens to be the title of the show. We'll also be talking with the two lead actors. And coming up on this program, we talk with the director of the Sutter County Museum in Yuba City. She and the museum's guest curator will be talking about the current art exhibit titled Structures, displaying works, some realistic, some abstract, some fantastical, depicting various buildings and human-built constructions. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Dunsmuir, at the Siskiyou Arts Museum, Forms and Sequences, a show by the Pacific Rim Sculptors Group. The galleries open Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 4, and Sunday, noon to 4. The big music event for this weekend is Small Town, Big Sound, showcasing 15 North State singer-songwriters, backed up by a big band orchestra. That's happening tonight in Weaverville at the Trinity Alps Performing Arts Center, beginning at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, the event moves to Orland at the Glen Success Square, starting at 7:30. And then Sunday in Reading, there's a matinee performance at the Riverfront Park Amphitheater, starting at 3. In the gallery at Reading's Old City Hall, artwork by Shasta College faculty. This exhibit, titled Art 300, includes paintings, photographs, drawings, sculptures, ceramics, and glass. The Old City Hall Gallery is open Tuesday through Thursday, noon to 5. At the Orland Art Center, the 9th annual group show, displaying a wide array of media in works by 40 artists from around California. Gallery hours 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Tonight, in Chico's downtown plaza, say goodbye to summer when Jeff Pershing Band plays the final Friday night concert for 2018. The original rock and funk music begins at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, at Harlan Adams Theater in Chico State, local folk music duo Ma Muse, beginning at 7:30. Sunday, Sierra Nevada's Big Room presents the swingin' gypsy rock sound of Diego's Umbrella, starting at 7:30. Chico Theater Company features the rollicking and romantic musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Showtime is 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, and 2 o'clock on Sunday. Tonight, at Chico State's Laxton Auditorium, the talented kids of the Blue Room Young Company in Disney's Mulan Jr. The musical starts at 7:30. 1078 Gallery, at its new location, 1710 Park Avenue in Chico, features the 37th annual Invitation Members Show. Themes for the exhibit, in keeping with the gallery's newest and fourth location, are Something New, a tribute to the south side of town, and interpretations of the number 4. The gallery's open Thursday through Sunday, 12:30 to 5:30. MoCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, hosts the photography exhibit Black and White in Black and White, Images of Dignity, Hope, and Diversity in America, Moncas Hours, 11 to 5, Thursday through Sunday. At Chico Art Center, the all-media art exhibition, Time Honored. The reception for this juried show is tonight, 5 till 7 at the center. In the Humanities Building at Chico State, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery displays the work of Vietnamese-American artist Trong Ya Win in his exhibit Dog Days. His whimsically odd and oddly political objects can be seen Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. Also in the Humanities Building, the Janet Turner Print Museum has an exhibit titled Imagining the Past. It asks the viewer to consider how the distant past affects the present. The Turners open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 4. At Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, a fun and flirtatious comedy, Women in Jeopardy. It plays tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date, French author and philosopher Albert Camus, who believed a guilty conscience needs to confess. A work of art is a confession.
Silly stories. When I'm at home, I am completely free of worries, 'cause my puppets can't say mean things. I control them all with string. This room was my world, it had everything I wanted, but now it looks small and perhaps a little haunted. I have never had a friend. My whole life was all pretend.
I'm at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, and we just heard a little bit of one of the songs from the present production. It's an original musical, and I have here the composer, lyricist, book writer, music director, Wade Guess. Wade, what made you decide to write a musical? Because you've never written a musical before.
I used to work at a place called 7th Street Center for the Arts, a day program for adults with developmental disabilities that focuses on performing arts. I was the music director there. We wrote plays. The folks who were there would perform them, and we'd take them to elementary schools around the county. And then I was tasked to write a little mini musical, kind of a very jokey, tongue-in-cheek kind of musical. It took about 2 weeks. It turned out to be like the greatest 2 weeks of my life. It was just so much fun. I never tried to write music before. It was the first time I thought maybe this is something I could put some effort into. So I decided to go back to school to get a music degree to try to learn how to write music properly. This was my ultimate goal, was to try to write a musical.
So this show, which is really having its world premiere in its complete form, is called Stuff and Things. What does that title mean?
Stuff and Things, a fair retail musical, subtitle. Stuff and Things is the name of a fictitious retail store. The beginnings of the story are based on my life and my experience of working in customer service. The show is a little bit absurd, kind of over the top.
A fair retail musical is the subtitle. That makes it sound like a commentary or satire of the whole retail sales business.
It's more a satire of my own personal experience. When I knew I wanted to start writing a musical, I was working in these customer service positions, and I really hated it. But I thought in the moment, while I was trying to think of what kind of story I wanted to create, well, what better than to use my own experience right now, and I can turn my time working in these places into a musical. And that made it much easier to get through. I'd never heard of or seen a musical that was in such a kind of mundane setting, you know, and I thought that would be a fun thing to try to do.
The main character is kind of shy, doesn't get out much, doesn't have many friends, and he's obsessed with, what, marionettes?
Yes, he has a passion for puppetry. The story begins with the main character, Will, having a graduation party for his college with him and his mother, but he had gone to a job interview and tried to use his college degree, and it was discovered that it was a fraud, and that, in fact, homeschool college does not exist. there was a ploy by his mother to keep him home. So he grew up in a very insular sort of existence, and at the beginning he decides to reach out into the world and get his first job, which is at the store Stuff and Things, and it's a real shock for him. He grew up loving puppets and marionettes. His father was a puppeteer. He spends most of his time in his room making stories with these puppets. Those two worlds kind of end up colliding with him in the store.
He likes dealing with puppets because he can have them under his control using the strings. They can be much easier to be with than people who you can control.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. It's that part of himself, that sort of darker part of himself that he may not realize is there, that begins to express itself while he's at the store. It's Will trying to kind of make a connection between authority structures and workplace settings and his own desire to have control.
How many songs are included in this two-act musical?
12 songs.
Did you find it was easy to write songs, or was it really hard for you to write the songs?
It was very enjoyable. I don't know if I would say easy, and I don't think I could write music as easily without having a story structure in place. You know, I'm not very good at sitting down and just coming up with a song, but it really helped to create an arc and to create characters and use them. I could think through their voices.
Why do you like musical theater? Why do you like songs that are built in that express characters and further the story?
I grew up listening and watching Singing in the Rain on repeat, mainly, you know. It seems like a challenge to me. It's an exciting sort of challenge. It's one thing to try to write music. It's another thing to try to write a story. But it just seemed very difficult to combine those two things. How do you write music that furthers a story? And I love the idea, too, of trying to repeat certain musical motifs and connect certain musical ideas with characters and their particular personalities. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
So seeing this show on stage for the first time, it actually opened last night. We only have two more performances tonight and tomorrow night at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. Seeing it on stage, what revelations did you get? What was different and what went beyond what maybe you pictured originally?
Well, I'll say there was one particular moment I remember a couple of weeks ago sitting in the audience. And, you know, anytime you're trying to put on a show, there's a bit of stress in it, and you can sort of lose perspective. But there was one moment a few weeks ago watching a particular scene that was based on something very specific that actually happened in my life. And it was very surreal because I thought, I brought this into being. You know what I mean? This happened in my life, and now I'm seeing it recreated in front of me. But the workshop process has been really fantastic. I've told the actors there's been a few changes throughout the process, and that's what this process is, trying to figure out where the structural weak points in the story, what needs to be changed, what can be tightened. I'm working with a director, Sean Green, who's been fantastic, who's been able to have a second pair of eyes on it for me.
And Wade, you're playing the piano to accompany this whole thing. It doesn't have as many instruments as we had in that demo song that we played. What's it like being behind the keyboard playing that music that you wrote and that's being sung for an audience?
It's really great. You know, I went back and forth a lot with this particular production of what the instrumentation should be. I was initially planning on having a full band, or at least some bass and drums and guitar. But as we went on and I realized I needed more flexibility, I decided to limit it to just me. And that way, when changes needed to happen, I could do it on the fly. During the rehearsal process, I could make changes that I found were necessary. And it's incredible, honestly, the whole thing. I mean, sitting there behind the piano and watching other people get excited about this thing that for a number of years I felt like I was only excited for because it was just in my head, you know, and then seeing other people take it on and turn it into something, it's amazing.
Well, let me talk to some of your performers here at the Blue Room. And the show is Stuff and Things. We have here Gabriel Suddeth. He plays the central role, Will. Tell me about your character.
Will's a very socially awkward boy, spent his life living with a really overbearing religious mom who kind of just kept him inside and, in fact, controls his life entirely. His only solace is really, like, playing with his puppets that she lets him have.
He thinks he's graduated from college, but it's really homeschool.
Yeah. Apparently, his mother has been teaching him college courses for God knows how long, and he just now is finding out when he's trying to enter the workforce that it's not an actual thing to be homeschooled for college.
So what's it like for him to go to this store, Stuff and Things, and enter the workforce for the very first time in his life?
I imagine really not what he was expecting. I mean, he thought he was getting a college education. He thought he was going to have a nice, like, 9-to-5 desk job or something, something where he didn't have to deal with people very much. But now he's stuck working at a minimum wage job in customer service, which is not where he was hoping to be.
And he loves his marionettes, his puppets. Does he use those to deal with people?
I feel like the puppets are kind of most of his social interactions, honestly. He kind of makes his own people. I guess kind of like Andy Kaufman did when he was a little boy. He would play with the puppets and put on little shows just for his other puppets. And his favorite one is Carl, the one that his father gave him to him before he died.
How does Will end up getting along at work, and how does Carl the puppet help him?
I mean, I feel like Will himself doesn't actually really find a way to get along, but through the character of Carl, he's able to kind of overcome his fears a little bit, at least when he's being Carl. Carl can overcome the fears when Will actually can't.
Well, let me talk to the other lead from the show. This is Laura Mars, and she plays, well, you tell me about your character.
Freckle. She is a cashier at Stuff and Things, and from what I've learned, she is the only person that cares about that place at all. That is her entire life. She's this very upbeat person, but she's more so pretending to be upbeat when she's not very happy doing what she does.
Tell me about the relationship that develops between you and Will.
They're becoming best friends. One of my favorite things that Wade has decided to do was Freckle is not Will's love interest. And I think that is a great idea. Freckle doesn't have to be a love interest. They can just be great friends and build a relationship through that and go through things together just as friends. And it's still just as powerful.
Describe what it's like letting a song express what's happening with your character and having that music woven into the fabric of the play.
There's specifically one song I'm going to be talking about, which is Is There a Price, which is Freckle's main song. It is very powerful. I didn't think emotions could be very well conveyed in songs, which is dumb to think, but I haven't seen a lot of musicals. But I can just feel everything that Freckle is feeling in that moment when I'm singing that song. And it really helped me develop her as a character within myself. I feel like if we didn't have Is There a Price, we wouldn't be able to know exactly in depth who Freckle was.
Laura, if you were going to talk to someone who've never heard of this show, doesn't know about it, maybe even hasn't never been to the Blue Room, what would you say to get them to be interested in seeing Stuff and Things?
Okay, so first of all, if you've ever worked retail, you need to see this show because it is so relatable. You need to see this show because it'll really resonate with you. It's got really catchy music. I'm always going home with these songs in my head, and it's just painfully honest.
We've been talking with Laura Mars, one of the stars of Stuff and Things, A Fair Retail Story, the current show at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. And it only plays two more performances, tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow night at 7:30.
This room was my world, it had everything I wanted, but now it looks small and perhaps a little haunted. I have never had a friend, my whole life was all pretend.
Doesn't care. Real people can't be led by a flick of the wrist instead. You need patience and know-how, compassion, and somehow you'll find that you've let someone in to your little world. And that it's not so bad, it's better now. When you're home, you know you've got a match who likes you without any.
You know, you're the first person I've met that knows about my puppets. I've always thought that anyone else would think it's weird or a waste of time.
It's not weird. Well, maybe a little, but it's a neat kind of weird. What's that?
I'd like to share something with you. As you can imagine, it's not something I tend to do. My prized possession, admittedly bordering on obsession, my father gave him to me when I was a boy. I've named him Carl.
Hello there, Carl.
He's a little shy.
Wonder where he gets it. Oh, I have a great idea. I think you should bring Carl to the store.
Why would I do that? What if?
Why what if? Everyone would love it. I know that if you open up a little, it'd really warm up to you, and it'd help them to get to know you better. When you let people see who you are underneath, you might be surprised.
I hate surprises.
There are rewards in store for those who don't live for the ifs and whys.
I was surprised once as a child.
If you decide to, I will be there for you.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with Jessica Haugen as well as Paul Bemke about an exhibition called Structures at the Sutter County Museum in Yuba City. I'm going to first talk to the museum's director. Jessica, give us some sense of what to expect in this exhibition.
I don't want to tell you too many details about what to expect because we want you to come and see it for yourself. We are including 6 artists in this exhibit. Some of them are from the Yuba Sutter area, some are from Chico, and some are from Sacramento.
What else is happening at the museum?
We feature art fairly regularly, but we do host a range of history-themed exhibits as well. We try to do between 4 and 6 temporary exhibits every year. We have permanent exhibits on the history of the area, so we cover the Nisenan Maidu, the Native American peoples who lived there, exhibits about the Sutter Buttes in general because they figure really largely in life in Sutter County, exhibits on the history of agriculture, on life in the earlier days of Sutter County, and we have a whole gallery dedicated to telling the stories of the significant ethnic minorities in the community as well. We have a really great 3-dimensional map of the Buttes that a local member of the community made for us years ago, which is wonderful. It's really nice for visitors to get a sense of scale of the Buttes and a sense of the fact that they're not just a flat thing that you see when you're driving by, but it's a true mountain range.
What are some of the means of drawing in the community?
We offer a wide variety of programs outside of our exhibits. We added a community garden to our property this spring, and that has been one of the big draws. We've also had some exhibits that we targeted to members of the community who weren't really engaging with us in the past. The first exhibit we had this year was called Tattooed and Tenacious, Inked Women in California's History. We showcased local tattoo artists' work along with the historical elements in the exhibit. We also had live tattooing demonstrations in the museum. That exhibit and those demonstrations really brought in a lot of younger people that had not been in the museum before, so it was really great to see.
I'm now turning to Paul Bemke, who is both an artist and the guest curator of this fascinating concept, Structures.
There are so many different types of buildings all over the world. It just seemed like a logical thing to do. It was something that everyone can identify with and understands. A good fit for a rural community that also has urban aspirations.
Well, a ride down Highway 99 going towards Yuba City takes us past many kinds of structures, from silos to water towers to modernistic houses. How about the architecture in Yuba City itself?
Just like every other town probably in the United States, the old buildings disappeared in the 60s and 70s, and there's very few old buildings left over. We're now going through a modernization where everything is being updated. I would say you could probably drive through Yuba City and not know if you're in Missouri or Arkansas or Pennsylvania. They all look the same to me, but it's its own unique place. It's actually a bedroom community for high tech in the Sacramento-Roseville area, yet it's agricultural all the way.
Paul, how about your own art? How does your vision of the future and its structures develop?
My structures are basically a million years from now, a billion miles away in space. The way I was raised, I got to watch weird science fiction-y things on TV and in movies, Star Wars, and then, you know, the obligatory Ray Bradbury. Fortunately, I never really got all that into the tech, and I'm actually a dirt guy. I like to play with materials.
Well, as you're describing this, I'm imagining a kind of Mad Max vision of the future and its structures.
No, it's actually completely different. Everything is really super stylized, slick, smooth, clean. People think that I might be kind of into the old rustic, worn wood, bent nail stuff, but I like stuff that's slick. I really like stuff that's smooth and slick and fancy, new, innovative.
The museum itself is really a very beautiful structure.
Thank you. The original part of the building was built in 1975. It's slowly been added onto over the years as we saw a need to grow and have more exhibit space. That's left us where we are today. We have a beautiful patio out front. We have great landscaping. A couple of really large olive trees give it a lot of character.
Paul, are you still experimenting with, would you call it ground glass?
Basically, it's working with Fritz, which is powdered glass and ground glass. I've kind of gotten away from it the last couple of years, and I've been doing mosaics. I was doing still life mosaics, interiors, exteriors of houses, barns, buildings. I think this might be the last of my mosaic series, and I'm going to go back to doing the Frit.
Jessica, everybody loves a party, including me. So what is your reception like?
Well, I'm glad you said party, because that's how I like to think of them too. The reception for the exhibit is on Friday, September 14th, 6 p.m. at the museum. We serve wine and cheese and crackers. And we just hang out and admire the art and pick the artist's brains. I hope they're all going to be there. It's open to the public. We would really like just to have everyone come and join us. This exhibit is a fundraiser. All of the art is for sale. We give the artists a good cut, don't worry. One of the things that's been one of my goals is to show the Yuba Sutter community, although yes, they are a bedroom community in large part, we can have nice things and we should have nice things. You shouldn't have to go to Sacramento or San Francisco to visit a really good museum. There's no reason we can't be a great museum as well. The way the community's responded to us has shown, I think, that people want to have nice things to take their family to right where they live, not a two-hour drive away.
Can you give us a rundown on the hours and days that you're open?
You can find us at 1333 Butte House Road in Yuba City. We're open every day except for Monday. So Tuesday through Friday, you'll find us there 9 to 5, and Saturday and Sunday, we're there 12 to 4. Our phone number is 530-822-7141.
And remind us once more about the reception.
September 14th, 6 p.m. We'll save you a glass of wine.
Jessica Haugen and Paul Bemke, thank you both.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.